Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. If you follow the news closely in Milwaukee, you'll often hear expert analysis from people such as political scientist and pollster Charles Franklin and education policy expert Alan Borsuk. What they have in common is that they're both employed at the city's only law school.
Marquette University Law School is headed by Dean Joseph Kearney, who brought those two experts on as senior fellows, along with former anchorman Mike Goucher. At around the same time, the law school built and moved into its new high-tech home, which includes everything from meeting spaces to underground parking. It's part of a larger vision for the law school within the community. Joe Kearney joined us in the latest of a series of conversations recorded at the University Club of Milwaukee recently. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you.
I was fascinated by your discussion at breakfast this morning, talking about advocacy, and I think a lot of us who are not lawyers and who don't work in the legal profession tend to forget that that's a fundamental part of what the legal profession is all about. And I'm hoping that you'll talk a little bit more now about what you mean by advocacy and how you hope that the Marquette Law School serves that.
It is a fundamental part of the profession. The profession is so varied, and there are so many different things that lawyers or simply individuals with legal education go and do. But I do think that almost all of them are involved in some form of advocacy or another. Really, probably all of us are. There's the old phrase that we're all in marketing, and I think that this is perhaps simply another way of phrasing it. It seems to me that the things that folks do in terms of getting a legal education really does tee them up for involvement, not simply in the affairs of their clients, but also in civic life more generally. And one of the things that we're trying to do with our students is not simply to get them the technical skills that lawyers require, but also a sense of the larger civic interests in which they ought to be engaged over the course of their careers.
I think a lot of us think of advocacy as having a particular opinion, like a political opinion, as opposed to this kind of advocacy, which is like working for a cause.
Right. I do think that one can get to a point on an issue or another where a capital P political divide will mean that there's no bridging the gap further. But I also think that it is possible with better information, with a more patient understanding of the interests of other people involved in a situation, that it's possible to find common cause where one did not quite expect it.
In the curriculum that you have now, how are you working towards that? Has that changed over the last, say, 25 to 50 years?
It has changed. Certainly, the law school curriculum is, for the most part, a traditional one and does not look fundamentally different from what it might have been 75 years ago. That is to say, the study of legal doctrine. At the same time, an emphasis on skills really has come into focus in the past 25 or so years. There are courses not only on applying the doctrine, a pretrial practice class or a trial advocacy class, but also courses in such things as negotiation. And courses such as that do help to give the students tools, if you will, with which they can advocate. That's the curricular part of it. There's also, I think, an atmospheric part of it. A lot of professional education is immersive, and one of the things that we've tried to do in bringing Mike Goucher or Charles Franklin or Alan Borsuk or others who are not lawyers into the law school is to give the students an atmosphere in which they will also more generally take the lesson that involvement in civic life is something that is available to them and important to their communities in years to come.
Talk a little bit more about the inclusion of non-legal people into the law. I mean, that is a really quite wonderful thing. Why was it important to you to bring those folks in?
I like to say that it stretched my credibility with the faculty to bring two journalists over to the law school, but not half as much as it did when I brought a political scientist over, that is to say, Charles Franklin, to direct the poll. I really regard Marquette University Law School as an important civic institution in this region. We are the only law school in a major metropolitan area That's an unusual situation in the United States. And it gives us all sorts of opportunities to serve the region in an educational way beyond what we are doing directly with our students. So whether it is the poll, which gives a sense of public opinion to individuals in the community who are interested in civic issues, or whether it's some of the conferences on education that Alan Borsak has convened, we are able to be educators in a way that goes beyond the students specifically.
I like what you were saying about the law school being part of civic life. You know, there's always been town and gown sharing, but there's also been town and gown separation. And this seems to be a way of including town in a way that I think is unique.
Right. We have had in Eckstein Hall, our home of the past 5 years, individuals come to programs and participate in them who not only had never been to the law school, but probably had never been to Marquette University previously. And many of them would have been longtime Milwaukee residents and citizens. These would have ranged from business leaders to individuals who are making their way in the world in a much more difficult set of circumstances. And it has seemed to us that we really are set up to be a common ground. We do not advocate for particular positions, but we do try to engage in programming that will give interested folks more facts on the basis of which they can form their own opinions on it, and also a place to which they can come and discuss some of these things in a civil and intelligent way.
Do you find that some of those folks that had never been there before but showed up for a particular program now return? And are there other alliances that are being built in the community that you wouldn't have seen before?
I think probably so. We had a conference a couple of weeks ago on the future of Catholic K-12 education, and certainly it is a topic that is of intense interest to anyone interested in the future of Marquette University. And we had at the conference a number of individuals from national organizations, some of whom we had brought in to be panelists, but others of whom came simply because they were interested in the conference. I expect, simply based on observing the room and the incidental conversations that were happening in breaks, that there were all sorts of connections made there by the local individuals with the people from elsewhere. It seems to me that a university ought to be bringing to the city that it serves people with expertise from other places who might make connections at the university, but with individuals who are not part of the university. I do get the sense, simply based on the return factor, if you will, that people are finding not just the direct information valuable, but also the opportunity to form some new relationships.
What about the students themselves? There's been a lot of press about how law school applications have dropped quite a bit since the recession in 2008. And also you read statistics that say there are a lot of lawyers and not enough jobs for them. How are you dealing with both of those things?
Very deliberately. So there is no question that the economic pressure on the legal profession and therefore on people going out into the practice is substantial. It has seemed to me that the key is to help the students get the first job. I believe that if we can work with the students so that they get the good first job, does not necessarily have to be one that's extraordinarily remunerative. It's not likely to be one that's extraordinarily remunerative, that we will set them up in a way that, along with their own talents and energy and hard work over the coming years, will enable them to have successful careers. We have discovered that our students do pretty well in terms of getting the initial jobs. Certainly our employment rate for graduates is still very strong, and our numbers are typically in the 90% area. The challenge really is the salary to debt ratio that law students or new law graduates face, and all law schools are working hard to contain costs and to open up more scholarship possibilities. We have the good fortune of, in addition to the Eckstein Hall Project, a gift from the late Joe Zilber of $25 million to endow student scholarships. That will help some, but this is a continual effort. Some of it has to be directed at containing costs, but other aspects of it are really on a one-on-one basis with the students, working with them to help them get the particular initial job that will put them in a good place starting out.
Hopefully kickstart the career.
Right.
Yeah. You come from the practice of law. You're now teaching still, right? You also, even though you're the dean, you have
I do teach every semester. I think that's an important thing for any number of reasons with the students and with the faculty. More selfishly, it's an important thing for me. The opportunity to work with students directly, not simply as dean, is what drew me out of the private practice in Chicago and up to Milwaukee to join the faculty in 1997. And if I'd had to stop doing that to become dean, that would have been a problem.
What do you miss, if anything, about private practice?
I have the good fortune of being of counsel to my wife's otherwise solo practice, and it's not that I get to spend much time on it. Certainly my duties as dean are rather all-consuming, but it does mean that we can talk about her cases. She's a remarkable appellate advocate in a way that doesn't breach any ethical responsibilities, since I am technically affiliated with her firm. And I do miss the opportunity to invest more deeply in particular issues on behalf of clients, the opportunity to spend weeks and weeks on a brief, as would have been the case when I was in private practice in Chicago, is really a rich and rewarding one. The opportunity to go in depth in issues that are of intense practical interest to clients is one that really is a terrific thing for a lawyer. And in an ideal world, I would do a little more of that, but I'm having an awful lot of fun as dean of the law school.
And so what was it that drew you to teaching?
My parents were teachers at local colleges in Chicago. My father taught history and my mother taught English. I suppose you could say it's kind of the family business, and it was something that I wanted to try. I had some doubts about the matter because I was enjoying private practice, and I talked to two people. One of them was Justice Scalia, for whom I had clerked and who had been a law professor, and the other was my mother, and they both gave me the same advice, which was that you should try it, and if you don't like it after a year, you will have the opportunity, no doubt, to resume the practice of law. If you don't try it, you will always wonder. I then called Justice Scalia in my first week of teaching, because I was teaching regulated industries at the time, and it was a course that he had taught. And he asked me how it was going, and I said that I was enjoying it. I really could not say definitively about the students. And his comment was that, in his experience, that if I was enjoying it, the students were as well. So whether that's true or not, I can't say for sure, but it's always gratifying when you have a student or two, hopefully a few more than that, who not only take a course with you, but then re-enroll for a subsequent course. Maybe you did something right.
I was going to say, that's usually the hint right there. As you look forward and as the world is changing so dramatically, do you see the law changing in any substantive way in the next 20 to 50 years to keep up with the changes in the modern world?
There's no question that it will. There is a great comment from Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., who would go on to become a longtime justice of the United States Supreme Court, in a book that he wrote in 1881, The Common Law. And Holmes' statement at the beginning of the book is that the life of the law has not been logic, it has been experience. And he goes on to say that not just the syllogism, not just the logical explication of a particular problem, but also individual experiences, the felt necessities of the time, is one of the great phrases that he uses, have had a great deal to do with the development of the law. Society, without doubt, is changing, and the particular problems, or at least the forms of the problems that we're going to face, will be different, and the law will change with it in ways that not all of us can predict. Really, none of us can predict.
We just know that it will change.
Right.
Yeah. Dean Kearney, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Joseph Kearney is the dean of the Marquette University Law School. He joined us as part of a series of interviews conducted at the University Club of Milwaukee.
It's getting down to crunch time for holiday shopping, especially if you're shopping for Hanukkah, which is tomorrow night. Help is on the way, however, from our resident game expert when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.